Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Yeah, appreciate you all being here with us. We are back in Seattle. Honored to be representing our team here in the national championship, and congratulations and tip of the hat to Coach Harbaugh in Michigan. Amazing season they've had, and just a lot of domination all year long, and well-fought win against Alabama in the Rose Bowl. So we are looking forward to the challenge, looking forward to everything that comes along with the national championship here in the days ahead, and our preparation, especially with the coaching staff and the game planning, is going strong already. In a couple days, and we'll be back down in Houston, and really looking forward to that time down there. So I'll open it up for questions.
Yep. All right. Jen, would you like to jump in and explain how we're going to get in the queue?
Yes, thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad now. You'll be placed into the queue in the order received. Please be prepared to ask your question when prompted. Once again, if you have a question, please press star 1 on your phone now. Our first question will come from Chris Vanini with The Athletic.
Hey, Kalen, how is Dylan Johnson doing, and what did you see kind of happen to him at the end of the Texas game?
Sure. Yeah, hey, Chris. I haven't seen him today. I know that we got back yesterday, and they continued to look at him, and, had a report with our training staff today. And, this is something he's been working through for a couple months now, and just played through it. And, there's nothing as far as above and beyond what's happened in the past, kind of throughout the game, he'll reaggravate it and shake it off and go back out there and play. I guess my thoughts are is that he'll be ready to go. Obviously, it's a quick week, quick turnaround, only 7 days to get ready again. We'll be smart with how we prepare, and I guess that's just my assumption, not having talked to him today, but even knowing when we landed, as long as everything came out all right with everything, he was going to do everything he could to be on that football field next Monday.
And how important is he to your team and what you guys do on offense?
Yeah, I think he's just really established himself, the second half of the season, both at running the football, which I know was everyone's seen. Just the big games he's had and the physicality he brings. He is very much in sync with our offensive line, trust them a lot. They trust him and go the extra mile to pave the way for him to get the yards he has. I think the other piece to it is, we have other guys that do a really good job too, but, he's just a solid player all around and does a good job with pass protection, and keeping pocket clean for Mike, and smart football player, understands his responsibilities, but physically able to, take on all the different types of bodies that come at him, pressure-wise or just helping in protection. So, him being a first-year guy with us, he's really the second half of the year come along as the reps have added up, and he gets more opportunities. So he's a big piece to it. I don't think I'd be able to sell it any other way. I think everyone would see through that. But, we have other guys that are ready to go if he's not able to step out there. But, Dylan's, I know going to do everything he can just because he's putting his heart and soul into this season, this team, all year long.
Thanks, Kalen.
Yep.
And we'll go next to Matt Calkins with Seattle Times.
Hey, Kalen. There have been a lot of defining moments, I think, for you guys this season, whether it be Grady's walk-off, whether it be the fourth down conversion against Washington State, Misha's interception. The list is pretty extensive. I'm curious if there's one or two plays or moments this year that really stand out to you and why those might stand out in particular.
Yeah, there have been. Obviously, with a lot of close games come a lot of big moments and big plays. And, you can go with the ones that kind of got the big run going for us as far as this stretch. And that, would probably be the fourth down stop against Oregon here at home in the regular season. And then being able to turn that into a touchdown to Roma Dunze, soon after. And, of course, the missed field goal. I mean, I know that's more than one play, but that's, to me, that span of just a few minutes. Just the trajectory we were on and just how that kind of propelled us into, kind of taking over top spot in the conference. And, I think you go to the end of the season and just finishing it off with, the touchdown scoring drive in the Apple Cup, after converting on a fourth down and the field goal by Grady Gross there. And then just, I think there's just the next step and level of just our guys grinding and some of the big plays that we made, a lot of big plays. So it's not one play, but it's just a group of things that have happened in the Pac-12 championship and the Sugar Bowl. Just the way the guys, work through third and fourth quarters, just keep grinding, keep fighting. Each piece adds to the experiences we have and the way they trust and believe in each other on another level.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll move next to Eric Olson, Associated Press.
Hey, Kalen. I know you've got bigger fish to fry right now with the immediate situation playing Michigan, but have you considered at all that just the fact that this is going to be a Big Ten matchup here starting next season and just the future and how this elevates the Big Ten, being able to say they have the national champion coming into 2024 one way or another?
I hadn't until really yesterday. Kind of someone else had asked the same question. And so, certainly, they're on our schedule a year from now, and it's a whole different deal that we'll be involved with as far as new conference. But, I think this year or where we're at right now in the season, that this is all about us representing the Pac-12 and going to win a national championship for our program and finishing off this season for this group of guys that have worked really hard. So I haven't really got into that or thought of it that way. I think it's all about this moment in this game and what it means for our program to be participating and have a chance to win a national championship.
Is there anything that helps Michael with regard to playing Michigan? Because it was like 3 years ago that he played them. And I know their defense is quite a bit different, but how do you see that?
I mean, maybe there's something. I think it's probably a lot has happened since the times that he's played there. And I think they won the game that you're referring to, if I remember right. But
yes.
But, I think it's just a whole different, thing that he's involved with now being here at UW and his teammates and the confidence he has in them and that they have in him as well. I think it's all about right now. But, if you were playing in their stadium, maybe there would be some familiarity that would help him feel good about it. But, we're playing down in Houston, and maybe the colors across from him, will be something to bring back some memories pretty quickly. But I think right now he's also just in the moment and focus on our program and the opportunity at hand.
Thank you.
Yep.
Our next question comes from Christian Capel with On Montlake.
Hey, Kalen. I know there were some guys like Jabbar Muhammad and Devin Colt and Nate Kaleppo who got dinged up but came back in the game. Any lingering concerns with any of those guys?
Hey, Christian. No, I think they're all good. I think they're all good. Just sore and things like that. I believe all of them got back in the game at some point, after their little dings and nicks. So it should all be good.
And we'll move next to Rachel Bachman with the Wall Street Journal.
Thanks so much. Hi, Coach. Your coordinators are some of the best compensated in the business, and you give them a lot of responsibility. Can you explain why that is?
Yeah. I mean, first of all, these guys, I mean, I've known them for not just a couple of years, but, you know, going on 15 to 25, 30 years, you know. Chuck Morrell and I were teammates in college, and we coached together for 10 years at Sioux Falls and 4 years here at Fresno and UW. He's been a part of every single win that I have as a head coach. And, you know, Ryan Grubb obviously draws a lot of attention with what we do offensively and the success we've had there. And, you know, going back to 2007, we've coached together many different places along the way. And, you know, he does a great job. And I think the thing about it is you know, when you can give people you trust ownership or a chance to you know, make it theirs, and I'm here to support them and empower our coaching staff, not just them, but, you know, be there for them, you know, give them all they need, the organization, put the pieces around them to help them be successful. I think they take a lot of ownership and responsibility in doing everything they can to help us be successful. And there's obviously a trust and belief I have in them, and I think it goes both ways, and their enjoyment to, you know, hopefully work for me, and, you know, you get the results you have because of that coordination that we have as a whole.
Great. Thanks so much.
Yep.
And we'll hear next from Tony Paul with Detroit News.
Hey, Kaylin. Actually, piggybacking on that question, a lot of your guys, including you, were on the staff at Eastern Michigan when they were talking about, you know, getting rid of the program. You've gone from the low of the low of the college football run to now the mountaintop darn near. I'm just curious, what did those 3 years kind of teach you about yourself and about your career moving forward when you were at Eastern Michigan?
Yeah. Yeah, we do. We got a couple strength coaches. Actually, got three of them, including our head strength coach, Ron McKeefree, Brian Fink, Zach Cook, and then Ryan Grubb obviously was there with us. Shaq Van was a player for us. He's a GA. So, yeah, I think, you know, the three great years coaching there, a lot of it has to do with just the people you're around. And Chris Creighton, I learned so much from him leading a football team. I had the chance at one point to do it myself, and I think, you know, you're really paying attention to head coaches and what they do and how they do it. And every guy's got their different style and way. But, you know, those years right there coming into a program that really didn't have a culture at that time, you know, over much tradition at all. And, you know, one day at a time, just being relentless and putting it together and seeing in a couple of years what it can become. And obviously that foundation continues to be strong there with what Chris has done. I'm super proud of, you know, his success and how he's got an expectation to have that program in a bowl game. And so I think it verified a lot of how I felt when I was building a team, you know, that already had a lot of good things going forward at Sioux Falls, picked up a few little pieces along the way to add to what we do. I've done that, I think, as a coordinator at the different stops I had, the four different stops I had, whether it be Southern Illinois, Indiana, Fresno State, or Eastern Michigan. You know, each coach gave me a little piece here and there that I've added to what was the key pieces for me to, you know, build our program and our culture.
Great. Thank you.
You bet.
And our next question will come from Dennis Dodd with CBS Sports.
Hey, Kaylin. I wonder if you could describe the process of Michael transferring. You know, I don't think it was a slam dunk. I recall him saying he watched film of the Washington offensive line before he came, and that offensive line became the best in the country. But how confident were you of getting him?
Yeah, hey, Dennis. You know, he was, I think the timing wasn't far off. I don't know. I think he was either thinking about it or entered the portal, and the timing of me getting the job here at Washington wasn't far off. You know, I think he was certainly wondering where I was at, what my quarterback situation would be, no matter where I was coaching, whether it be at Fresno State, and then it happened here. I think as soon as I called him, I think there was probably a feeling in his mind that this was what he hoped would work out, was to come here. And certainly that's the way I felt as well. And when he came up here and visited, it was certainly a business trip for him, wanting to see everyone around him from the offensive line to the receiving core. There was not a lot of the glitz and glamour and tours and seeing the city. There was a little bit of that, but it was really getting reacquainted and us, trying to show him, what we knew at that time, which we were still learning as well. Ryan Grubb was on staff and here, and, they did not know each other. So that was important for me to instill that trust in Michael that, we'd be doing what we did at Indiana. That would be the foundation. And then him growing that relationship and me verifying to Michael that, that's the type of coach Ryan is too, is that he'll be very clear, he'll be very concise, he'll work his tail off for you. And, but Michael wanted to know, like you said, the offensive line, who they were going to be, wanted to make sure he could be protected because I think he trusted what his talent was and what he could do with football as long as he had some of those pieces to keep him upright and give him a chance, and I did as well. And so I was super excited when he came on board we'd end up having what we're doing right now. And that's a lot of success with him leading the charge.
Yeah, it worked out. And also on Eric's question, I know you don't want to talk about the Big Ten, but do you have a plan, a binder, a way to transition? Are you recruiting different players as you transition to the Big Ten?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, our staff has a lot of ties and connections, both to the Midwest and the Big Ten, whether it be coaching there in the Big Ten or, just from that region of the country. I think it will be a transition that's pretty smooth for us that way. We have a lot of familiarity with the type of football that's played and different styles, from each program. We still have to keep, I think, our footprint with being the West Coast, but we'll not be afraid to venture off, and find the right fit, the guys that are maybe we have contacts with through head coaches and areas we're very familiar recruiting already. There's certainly a lot that we already feel we have in this program that fits what can compete well in the Big Ten. To me, it's about us continuing to evolve and just grow and be better at every position and as a collective each and every year, And so we reassess that and understand where we're at as a program. But, physically, I think, you get to this point in a playoff, you're facing the best of the best. And, obviously, we'll learn more about Michigan and when we step on the football field against them and where we match up as far as being the best in the Big Ten as well.
Great. Good luck.
You bet. Thank you.
And our next question comes from Rainer Saban, Detroit Free Press.
Yes, Kaelin. I was wondering what makes Michael such a, catalyst for everything, because it seems like obviously he led Indiana to one of its best seasons in all time, and then what he's done obviously at Washington, but also even going back to that 2020 victory over Michigan. It was the first Indiana victory over Michigan in 33 years. What is it about him that kind of really makes him do some things that seem somewhat improbable?
Yeah, I think the production and then who he is as a person. And on the production piece, I mean, he's got a skill set that I think it makes him the best player in the country. Just the ability to throw the ball with accuracy. He can get rid of it super quick. There were some throws in the game this last week where he had to slide in the pocket, reset his feet, and quick release it. Did it, from the left side to the right side. He did it sliding one way and throwing right down the middle of the field. He's got a quick release. So all those pieces from a skill set standpoint, arm talent wise, are there. The production, I think, is what you know, certainly helps with people buying into him. And then, you know, combine that with just a personality that's fun to be around. He's as low ego as it gets. It's all about the team. And, you know, everyone hears that publicly, you know, when he talks, but it is 100% real. It is what we see every single day. There are things he's doing for his teammates, you know, that he could care less if it got out there to public. It's all about just loving the moment he's in, wanting this to be a special time, you know, for everyone that's around him. You know, he has a lot of trust, you know, in people. Once you really become loyal to him, man, he will do anything for you. And that's gone both ways on our team, both he to the team and the team to him. And he's not afraid to get up front and center and give a hard talk. And you can realize pretty quickly how competitive he is and how bad he wants to win a national championship. And that he really believed when he came back that we could be in this moment. And then lastly, his work supported everything that were his goals, you know, all season long. Had a full off season to really train, a full off season to, you know, work individually to improve, to work with his receivers. He would challenges, you know, everyone on this football team to be the best that they can be all the time. He did that from the time he, you know, said he's coming back early last December.
Do you find it somewhat ironic in some ways that the offensive system that you kind of inspired at Indiana and even his play in 2020 really pretty much led to what Michigan's defense is now, the defensive change in a lot of ways because of what happened in that game in 2020? I mean, do you gather any sense of irony in that sense that in some ways that you've kind of thought about the defense that you're going to face Monday night?
I hadn't thought about it that way. I mean, as you're talking here, I can, I guess, kind of see what you're saying. I don't know if it's one particular game, you know, that gets someone to evolve and change. I think it's a lot of other things, but, you know, Michael certainly had a year there, at Indiana where, he had a lot of success, a lot against a lot of different teams in it, you know? So, you constantly have to adjust to the people that cause you the most problems. I think the irony is that, you know, yeah, he's playing another Big Ten team that he's faced, you know, before. So, you know, it's a cool moment for us as a team and for him as well.
Thank you, Coach. It's time we need to transition over to Michael and Braylon, but I'd like to thank everyone. Just please hold on, and we'll be back in the room here in just a moment.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Dan Orlovsky, are you still a Jaden Daniels is the best quarterback available in the draft guy?
I think the three things that make it stand out for me are, number one, I think his ball placement versus man coverage is the best in the draft. Every quarterback in the NFL is accurate. He's got the best on tape. Number two, most transferable stuff to the NFL. And then I think the third thing is pocket peace.
Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Jeremy Renner returns to Paramount Plus for a brand new season of the original hit series, Mayor of Kingstown.
My job is to create a balance, avoid a war.
From executive producer Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone.
There's some new players in town, and they brought the plague.
And Antoine Fuqua, director of Training Day.
I know it's always been a war zone, Mike, but this is next level.
The mayor is back in business.
Are you warning me?
You don't want to find out.
Mayor of Kingstown, new season streaming June 2nd, exclusively on Paramount Plus.
And we are now live. Mr. Daniels, please go ahead.
Great. Thank you, Jen. We are now joined on the call here by quarterback Michael Penix, offensive player of the game from the Sugar Bowl, University of Washington, and defensive end Braylon Trice. At this point in time, I'll turn it over to Jen to give us instructions on how to get in the queue for questions.
Thank you. If you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad now. You'll be placed into the queue in the order received. Please be prepared to ask your question when prompted. Once again, if you have a question, please press star 1 on your phone now. Our first question will come from Mike Vorell with Seattle Times.
Yeah, I wanted to ask Braylon something. Braylon, you were on this team when you played Michigan back in 2021. It was a very different place, and obviously Michigan got the better of that game. And it just, how do you
think about how far this group has come since then and just the growth that you guys have had under Kalen and under this different staff.
Yeah, that was a while back, you know, completely different team, different group of guys. But now we have a whole different team, a whole different coaching staff, and we have way better team, way better thing going out here. Obviously, you guys see that. But the level of preparation and the mindset that this team has is a lot different than that in the past. And it's a different time. It's a different era. And this is a team of winners, and we're out here to win and go out to this last game and to do what we can to go get that W.
Thank you.
And we'll move next to Andrew Kahn with the Ann Arbor News.
Hey, Michael. I'm wondering how much, if any, you think your past experience playing against Michigan helps you in this game.
I wouldn't say I can't really use anything from my past, you know, playing them, because obviously I played them with a totally different team and so totally different time. You know, that was the year of COVID as well. You know, so it's like nothing that happened before will carry over to what we have to prepare for come Monday. But I'm just super excited for the opportunity, and I know my guys will be ready.
And we'll hear next from Sam Kahn with The Athletic.
This is for Michael. Michael, I wanted to ask you about Roma Dunze. What is it about his game you think that makes him such a special receiver and so hard for other people to defend?
I'll say the biggest thing is just his consistency. I mean, like, his skills and his talents, like, you see that each and every week, you know, on a consistent basis. You know, he doesn't just do it on game day either. You know, he shows up in practice, you know, always giving the best looks, the best reps, you know, that he can to help his team. You know, and that's what I think makes him so special, you know, just his care and love for this team, to where, like, when it comes to practice, when it might begin hard in practice, you know, he's still going to give 110% no matter what.
Thank you.
Our next question will come from Michael Cohen, Fox Sports.
Hi, this question is for Michael. I guess in your early studies of Michigan's defense and what Jesse Minter has done as a coordinator, what do you think are some of the challenges that unit will present based on what you've seen so far?
That's a good team over there, man. They're coached up very well. But we're going to be ready for the challenge. You know, they mix up the pitcher quite a bit. You know, they try to get the quarterback off of his mark, you know. But we'll be ready for it, you know. We know that, you know, obviously this is the biggest game, you know, right now, mainly because it's our next one, but obviously because it's the championship as well, you know, for the national championship. But, man, I'm super excited for the opportunity, but, you know, we're just going to continue to, you know, prepare the same way that we do each and every week. And we know that we have enough, what it takes to be able to come out with the W. We just got to go out there, execute, and do it.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Dennis Dodd, CBS Sports.
Hey, Michael, could you describe the process in getting to Washington? How much of it was a slam dunk with the relationship you had with your coach? I do recall you on a Zoom saying you scouted the offensive line. You watched film of the offensive line. What did you see then, you know, when the, you know, program wasn't very good at that point? And what did you, you know, obviously they're the best offensive line in the country now.
The biggest was just, so like you said, man, my process, it was pretty good. I came on my visit, you know, strictly by business. You know, I already knew what I wanted, my last couple of years to look like, and, definitely helped me be able to have that year and have those years that, you know, I was looking for going into the portal, you know. So I'm super blessed for the opportunity. But yeah, whenever I went on my visit, I just asked to see, like, the film of the guys. You know, I wanted to see who I had around me. And, you know, once I saw the talent that I had around me, that I would have around me here, you know, I knew I couldn't pass up this opportunity, and I knew that we'd be able to do something.
Was that true, that you looked at film of the offensive line and kind of scouted them, seeing what you were getting into?
I looked at film on everybody. It wasn't just the offensive line. You know, I watched the old line. I watched the skill guy, everybody's tape from the prior year. So I knew, I kind of had an idea of what I was.
Okay, and real quick with Braylon, could you describe what this team does well to win? How do they win? I'm looking back 20 years, and I can't find a national champion who led the who led the nation in passing? Or is that even a metric we should be looking at right now? Give me 50 words on how this team has gotten to this point. What kind of team are they? Mm-hmm. What do they do well? Because all the average fan sees is Michael passing yards, 40 points a game.
Yeah, I mean, behind the scenes, people don't see the hard work and the character that this team has. You know, the process of the preparation and, you know, the mentality and physicality that this team has. Everybody sees the gameplay and the stats and the scores and everything. But when you're behind the scenes, you really see how much heart and drive goes into this team. In the weight room, on the practice field, even in the locker room, I mean, it's a completely different vibe than teams I've been on in the past. And I think that plays a big role in why we're at where we're at now, because you know, without that preparation and that brotherhood and that connection and, you know, that drive that these guys have on this team, we wouldn't be where we're at. And I just know it. I'm blessed to be on a team like this and be surrounded by guys like this and get that opportunity to play with this team. Yeah, and I'm excited for where we're headed.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
And we'll hear next from Matt Calkins, Seattle Times.
Michael, I asked Kalen something similar, but you guys have had so many defining moments this year, whether it be Grady's walk-off kick, whether it be Elijah's swat in the Sugar Bowl, fourth down stops, couple touchdown passes you've had, Mish Powell's in there too. I'm just curious if there's one or two this year that really stand out to you and why.
You saying games or just plays?
Plays.
One or two of my plays or just the team?
The teams. And that could include yours.
You said mine. Well, it feels the teams. You know, I'd definitely say Mish, he had an amazing play for us, Arizona State. You know, we were struggling on the offensive side of the ball. You know, I couldn't really move the ball, but, you know, him making that big play to help our team spring ahead and get that win, you know, was big, you know. As far as myself, I'm not really sure. I'm not really sure. I never really thought about, like, what's been my favorite play. No, but I'm just always so in the moment, you know, at that time, you know, and during the game, you know, it kind of goes by fast. So I never really sat down and thought about it, you know. But I love all the plays that my guys make for me. You know, definitely the ones that they make it look easy for me.
Thank you.
And next we'll go to Rainer Saban, Detroit Free Press.
Hi, Michael. Just wanted to get your thoughts on what you remember most from the win over Michigan in 2020 and whether you derive any sort of, I don't know, irony or get a sense of irony that in many ways your performance in that game kind of forced Michigan to change its defense to what it is now.
I don't really remember much. You know, I just remember winning, really. I mean, it was a good game. That was a good team, and you know, that was during the COVID year, you know. But it's a totally different ball game, you know. But I'm always confident in myself and in this team, you know, in the preparation that our coaches, you know, give us to go into each game. So I'm super excited for the opportunity.
And we'll move next to Doug Parrish, Football Organically.
Michael, congratulations on getting to the championship game here. The term for pulling back the arrow is called drawing. How do you compare that to what you do after you throw a strike to a wide receiver or for a touchdown? What are your thoughts when you're pulling back the bow and arrow?
I don't know. it just happens, you know. I get in a moment, you know. Sometimes I don't do it, sometimes I do it, you know. It's a lot of times it's just like an in a moment thing, you know. But I don't know, man. I've been falling in love with it, so I've been doing it.
Sounds good.
And we'll go next to Dan Rayleigh, Inside the Huskies.
Braylon, when we were in New Orleans, Texas kept saying that you guys play an NFL style defense that's highly unique. Do you think that's true, and is this going to prepare you for the NFL, you and your teammates?
Yeah, I wouldn't, like, obviously I think highly of our defense, so I'm not going to compare us to, like, an NFL-style defense, I think. But it's good to hear that people think of us like that. But I like to just focus on, you know, what we are ourselves. You know, I don't like to think too much on that. But, yeah, our defense is aggressive. And, you know, we fly after the ball on every play. You know, we're always trying to send people to the quarterback, send people where they need to be at. We're not going to sit back and wait for you to come to us, you know. But, yeah, pretty much.
We'll go next to Kenneth Berry, Touchdowns and Tangents.
Congratulations to both of you. How has it been, knowing obviously nobody really opted out, and with all the success that Coach Kalen has had, could easily probably, you know, be looking at the NFL, but everybody's kind of stayed down through this journey. How special has that been for you and reaffirming knowing you chose to come back?
Yeah, I mean, it's been real special. You know, the position that we're in right now is definitely the reason that I know that we all chose to come back. You know, we saw the vision, and we believe that we could be able to achieve the greatest things out there. So this team has been doing it. We've been on a mission, and we've just been truly blessed, you know. But at the same time, you know, it took a lot of hard work to get here, and it wasn't always perfect, but we always found a way to make it work. So, man, it's just hats off to this team and, you know, just our grit and our determination and our will to win each and every week.
And Braylon, obviously, you know, you got the offensive line wins Joe Morris Award. Michigan won the Joe Morris Award 2 years in a row. How does it feel for you as a defender knowing, you know, you're going up against the best offensive line in the country, and how much do you feel like that over prepares you for what Michigan has coming your way?
Yeah, I've been saying it since, you know, for the past 3 years that it's awesome to be able to get reps against guys at the caliber, dudes that are playing at this level, that are willing to, are able to get a Joe Moore Award. We have some of the best offensive linemen, and getting reps against them every single day just prepares us more and more for what's to come, you know, and even preseason, you know, going up against them in fall camp, one-on-ones, you know, good versus good. It's awesome to be able to get reps against guys like that, like Troy and Nate, and, you know, Parker and Raj. I mean, all those guys are, you know, high caliber offensive linemen, and you can't find guys like that just anywhere, especially with the mentality that they have up front, protecting Mike and doing their job. So, it's just great to know that we have those level of guys on our offense playing O-line. And it's awesome as a D-lineman to know that my guys on my side are going to be prepared enough to go out and play teams like Michigan, like Texas, like guys that we're playing, because we get to go against dudes that are better than that and are able to win awards like that, which is awesome, and I'm proud of them for it.
Thank you.
And our next question will come from Chip Howard, KZNE Radio.
Yeah, this is for both Michael and for Braylon. Why do you think you guys have been so successful in close games? What does it take to win these close games?
I'll say the biggest thing, you know, is just the bond, the connection that we have within the team. You know, I feel like, you know, this team, we truly have love for each other, and we want to see each other do great, you know, and that's a big thing, you know, just having a lot of guys, you know, on a great team that are unselfish and, you know, always excited to see their brothers, you know, winning and doing great in their positions. And I'll say all the stuff that we've been through, you know, just all our off-season grind and workouts and, you know, everything that we've been through to get to this point, you know, that allowed us to get here. You know, it definitely took a lot, you know, to get here. You know, it didn't just happen overnight. The process has been going on these past 2 years, you know, so we've been blessed.
And just to piggyback off that unselfish part, I mean, this is probably the most unselfish team I've been a part of my entire career, football, you know. It's a big part of why we're at where we're at, and we can, you know, finish off games in situations like that, because you see teams that can't perform in clutch moments like that because they hang their heads down and they start to get mad at each other and they start fighting within their groups and within their units. And that's really what, you know, tears teams apart and not let them be successful in moments like that. But instead, our team, our guys will go out there and, you know, bring each other up, lift each other up in situations that obviously we don't want to be in, but we're in, and make the most out of what we got and just remind each other, like, this is what we trained for. This is what we're ready for, you know. And, you know, just that confidence that we have as a group, knowing that we have that trust in each other and that unselfishness is what really brings us to where we're at.
Thank you.
And our next question will come from Chris Vanini with The Athletic.
Yeah, for Michael, first, I guess, how is Dylan doing after re-aggravating that injury? And second, how important is he to what you guys like to do on offense?
Yeah, man, Dylan's a guy that, you know, he works extremely hard, you know, to get to where he has become, you know, all season, you know, for us, you know. But, man, he always has high spirits, you know. He's a guy that's, you know, always spreading love, you know, always want to see the team be great. You know, so he's in good spirits. You know, obviously, you know, we're not sure of, you know, anything as far as like him playing or him not playing yet. You know, but whenever that time comes and we find out, you know, we know that we're going to support him and be behind him no matter what. So, man, we're just lucky to have a guy like him on his team. You know, because of, you know, his just his determination, his grit, his will to win. You know, and always wanted to see this team do great.
Appreciate it. Thanks.
You can now relive the best moments of the UEFA Champions League 24/7. The UEFA Champions League channel is a new 24-hour streaming channel serving nonstop goals, highlights, and full match replays from the world's most prestigious club competition. Reminisce on your favorite moments, legendary players, and brilliant goals with the UEFA Champions League channel, streaming around the clock on Pluto TV and the CBS Sports app.